Since the dawn of video game creation, mankind has had trouble deciding whether to play on a PC or a console. What if all were welcome? Is there a place where these two can coexist? This is the Game Fix Show.
Hello, my friends, it's at Game Fix. It's me, Mario.
Woohoo! I'm here to kick ass and listen to the Game Fix Podcast.
And you're listening to the Game Fix Podcast.
And you're listening to Game Fix.
It's Game Fix Podcast.
I like to tune into the Game Fix Show.
All right, partner. You know what time it is.
Let's go crazy!
Hello, welcome to another edition of the Game Fix Podcast. I am Spanish, and Verlaine's off this week. So joining me, it takes two people to fill in for Verlaine. So that's what we're going to do this week. Of course, we have Mike, our main contributor. Mike, what's going on? Or Colonel Fancy, whatever you want to be called. I don't give a shit. It doesn't matter to me.
I'd ever know what my name is. What's good, Dave? Good.
Not too much, man. Well, we'll get into a lot of that. But on the show for the first time ever. First time ever. I mean, I met you guys, what, 3 years ago? Something like that?
It's going on 3 years now.
Yeah, at the Wizard World Comic Con in Cleveland, at least the last one that was there. And I think it is the last one that'll ever be there. We got to meet you guys, and we became best friends pretty much. Well, yeah, pretty much. But this is the first time you're on the show. You have how many people on your show? 25 people. And tell us what your show is and where they can listen. Go.
First, we have 26 people on the show.
No, seriously, how many of you have?
The alphabet.
Oh, is that right?
No. We have 6 people on our
show. Oh, it's only 6? Okay. For some reason, I was thinking like 9 or something like that.
With all the crosstalk, it seems like it.
Yeah. No, it's cool, though. It's cool. Okay, well, Cool Story Bro is the name of your podcast.
True Story Bro.
Or True Close Story. What did I say? Cool Story? Did I say Cool Story? Sorry.
Yeah, it's all good.
My bad.
It's
all good. Well, tell them where they can listen to you.
True Story Bro, we've been celebrating our 5th year of doing podcast shenanigans, me and my friends from this RPG we call life. You can catch us on YouTube, you can catch us on all audio platforms, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iTunes.
Just everywhere.
You know, all the everywhere.
That's cool.
Just look up True Story Bro. There's many imitators, but only one True Story Bro.
Right on. No, they're pretty funny. You guys definitely need owe it to yourself to listen to them, because I've listened to them a few times, and I've laughed every time. So it's good. It's good stuff.
You guys. Nice.
Let's get into it. We have a lot to get into, as I all pretty much say on every episode we do. But this one in particular, Microsoft made kind of a big purchase. So we'll get into that. Also, is the PS2 annoying? Is it annoying? Do we know yet? I don't think we know yet. Also, a surprise free game, a Nintendo game, in February. So we'll get to that, as well as movie stuffs, because that's what we do at the end. And we will also be talking about the return of the Mandalorian. With the Book of Boba Fett. So we'll get that to at the end of the episode. So in case you didn't see episode 4, we don't want to spoil it for you. So just fair warning, and yeah, whatever. So all right, it's the time of the show. You know what? I didn't give my stuff. GameFixShow.com. We'll just leave it at that. That's fine. Yeah, there's all the stuff. You guys can figure it out once you get from there. All right, we got to do what we always do, and you know... Sir Wednesday, since this is your first time, what have you been playing this past week?
It's as you may have guessed from the podcast that we did a panel over at Wizard World Cleveland.
Sure.
I have a habit of having my consoles collect dust like Indiana Jones relics. But lately I've been able to actually go in and play some of the Wolfenstein games, the new Wolfenstein games, like New World Order. I started with the regular Wolfenstein that they revamped, and I started working my way through New Colossus and, you know, playing with games like that. And eventually going back to one of my games that are near and dear to my heart, Vanquish, which I love.
Cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. That it? Anything else?
Yeah, I've been getting back into guitar, so I've been playing a lot of Rocksmith.
Oh, okay.
Or at least a decent amount of Rocksmith.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. Good call, man. Good call. All right. Yeah. Wow. You know, it's so funny. I own Rocksmith for the PlayStation 3, I believe.
Nice.
And I played it, and it was awesome. It was great. It really like kind of helped you along through it. But you know, I just got to the point where there were so many times I'd rather pick up the Guitar Hero guitar and do my thing. And actually, we're going to talk about Guitar Hero on this episode. So stay tuned for that. So, but Mike. Or Colonel Fancy. See, I see now I'm like, should I give the nicknames? Are we going? Oh, but I'm Spider-Man. You know, like, are we giving our nicknames here? But it's okay. Mike, what have you been playing this past week?
So I've been a part of the Level 50 Club that me and a couple of the other guys have been doing on Twitter. And it's seeing if we can beat 50 games in the year.
Ooh.
Mind you, I probably haven't beaten 50 games in the last 7 years.
I like it.
Because I'll buy a game, and then it gets put in the backlog for another game, and that happens.
Yep.
So this week I've started, I ended up playing like a lot of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Okay.
Nice.
And I was playing
Are you hearing voices? Like, are you constantly hearing those voices?
Oh yeah, I've been repeatedly trying to join the Nintendo Fun Club. They haven't been answering back my emails. If there's anything that's been awesome about the fact that I beat a Punch-Out is that there was a long there's been like a bunch of Reddit threads over the years about saying that you can't beat Punch-Out on like a modern TV because the extra frames add too much delay and it's impossible to beat Mike Tyson or Mr. Cream.
Was it?
No.
Ah!
It wasn't that hard at all. I mean, I had to get my rhythm back because I'm almost 40 and those punches
feel like
1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really all that hard. I mean, if anything, I probably had a tougher time with Soda Popinski.
Oh, because you know why? Do you know why?
It's because he's a softball.
Because he's a lefty. That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
then there's another one that is too, isn't it? Mr. Dream wasn't he lefty or Sandman? Maybe he's a lefty.
Sandman.
I'm trying to remember. All right.
Yeah, because he fights opposite of like Bald Bull.
Yeah.
Since like they're the palette swap.
That's right. Yeah.
So. Sandman and Soda Popinski were always like the toughest fights that I had. Once I got to Super Macho Man, I could take him out no problem.
Yeah.
So I beat that. I also went back and beat the original Gradius from Konami, one of my favorite
Space Shooters. That's a throwback. I love it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And lately I've been playing Super Castlevania 4.
Sweet.
Aiming to beat that one and make that my number 3.
Okay.
And out snap.
A new fighter is coming. It's Guile. Well, why is it new? Isn't that on every game? Like, whatever.
Season 1 bonus package.
Blanca!
Balrog, Jury!
Really? What? Yeah, so that's cool. That's cool. I just want to point out, Bocephus did say that he beat It Takes Two with his wife, which is awesome. Have you guys played that yet?
I keep meaning to play that.
It takes two, if you could find, because I think it's only online multiplayer, so you need somebody to play online with. But holy shit, I played it with Jack from the Canned Air podcast, and that game was amazing. Like, we couldn't stop playing it. It's so good. Yeah, there's a reason why it won all these awards this year, because it's that damn good. It really is. It's fun. Unfortunately, it is a two-player game, so you can't play it just by yourself. So, but I'm telling you, it's worth every minute of it. So, anyway.
Oh, we don't get a dummy CPU partner to screw up
the audience. No. Thankfully not, actually. Well, James, producer James, we haven't heard from him, I think, since Moby Dick was a minnow, I believe. That's the last time we heard from him.
He said,
last game I beat was a Loop Hero. Okay. All right.
Loop Hero.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Good call. Bocephus, that's a good call. Only one person needs to buy it. So whoever, if you buy It Takes Two, you could just invite a friend to play with you.
And that's dope.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's a really good. Whoa, you're right over there.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. All right. Well, okay. What have I been playing? That's the question at this point. Me and Jack got back into Deep Rock Galactic. If you have Game Pass, it's a pretty cool. Pretty cool, weird, kind of a build 'em up, take out random alien hordes, and it's pretty fun. It's a cool game. I suggest at least go checking it out, especially if Game Pass, because you could play it, you could stream it right via the cloud. And as Mike knows, and I don't know about you, Cedric, but the cloud gaming is actually amazing, and it's been. I mean, close to flawless. We all thought that this would never happen, but I think Microsoft figured it out. So, which is good. That's good.
If it would be anybody, it would be them.
Yeah.
In all honesty.
Yeah, that's a good point. Also, I got back into Far Cry 6. I've been kind of, like I said last week, I've been chipping away. It is one of those games where I can play for like an hour and then I'm a little like, okay, that's it. Next one, you know? But yeah, so I've put about an hour in every single night and it's been good. That's a fun game. And then the last game, I got back into it. I'm so excited because I love these games. Yes, you're hearing it. Uncharted 4.
Nice.
Nathan Drake is one of my favorite characters almost ever, as far as video games go. So I really do what I can to go back and play the old games as often as I can. So, and I've only beaten Uncharted 4 once, so I'm ready. You know, let's do it again. I think I'm about halfway through it. Cool. Again.
Get some of those achievements on it?
Yeah. I guess I did get a few new achievements, but like I said, I've beaten it already before, but you know, I'm finding new things and all that, so... It's great. So, okay, we got to get into what's going on. This is kind of huge. I got to turn that off. Oh yeah, let me get to that. What is that? All right, there he goes. All right. Okay. Yeah. See, I'm not very good with this. Verlaine's better than I am with. Anyway. Okay. Microsoft. If you guys are familiar with Microsoft, I don't know why I'm saying it like that, but. Mike, you're very familiar with it because you actually posted the article on our website, gamefixshow.com. It says Microsoft acquires Activision Blizzard for $68.7 billion. Oh, I almost said million. Oh, that would have been bad. That would have been bad. Billion. Yeah, $1 billion. So, this comes by probably to the surprise to most of us. I don't think there's anybody out there that really expected this to happen. Although the CEO of Microsoft did say that they're looking into their relationship with Activision Blizzard, which obviously that translated to was we're going to buy the shit out of them. And I'm kind of glad they did. It's actually a great thing. It's approved, right? Cause I know it's approval based on antitrust laws. I think is it still pending at this point, Mike? Do you know?
It looks like for the most part the antitrust laws aren't going to stop the deal from going through, but it'll be official like next year.
Okay, all right, yeah, so. So once they pretty much will they dissolve the name or will they keep the name? I would imagine they'll keep it, right?
I'm confident that they're going to keep it. I think if they're going to have the games on like. Have some games on multiple platforms.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to dissolve the name, so I'm pretty sure that Activision and some of its subsidiaries, like Raven Software, they'll probably keep those names.
Okay, well that's good. It's a good move. I don't know. I think kind of jumping in there, it's like, you know, let's just change a character's name. That'll make things better. Oh wait, that didn't make things better. That's right.
What was McCreed's name changed to? Like Colin Cassidy?
Not Colin Cassidy, something Cassidy.
Cole Cassidy.
I'm sorry. I still call him McCreed. Yeah, McCreed is what I call him, so whatever. But it doesn't
matter. Why did they ever change the name?
You know, about all of the allegations that's been going around with Activision Blizzard with all the harassment stuff. One of the guys who was a part of the team, McCree, is actually his real name. So they said, nope, So they switched it out. So I don't know if that's going to make Overwatch 2 great, but we'll also get into Overwatch 2 coming up a little bit. But anyway, let's get back to this. They buy this for $68.7 billion. And so they pretty much, Microsoft now has under their wing Blizzard, Activision, what else? Bethesda.
ZeniMax, Bethesda, and all of them. It's like, ID Software.
That's right. Yeah.
Ninja Theory, Obsidian.
Yep.
A couple of other acquisitions.
It's a lot.
Whatever Rare is worth.
Not to mention what everyone was really excited about, and that is the acquisition of Candy Crush, right? Everyone's happy about that one. No one cares.
You know, it's only one of the largest games on the planet.
Whatever. But it's theirs now, so that's one thing. So
you know that I've actually never played Candy Crush before?
Ever?
Yeah, I've never played it. Oh no, that's Bejeweled. That's on my phone.
Yeah, I see. That's a different game. That's a good game though. I like Bejeweled. That's fun.
Yeah,
it's relatively the same, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'm gonna take a shit and play this for a half hour. You know, that's really what that game is about.
True. Get the dead leg, wake up, and be like, why did I do this to myself?
Yeah, it's fine. That's fine. I'll finish as I'm walking, like limping, you know, like down the hallway. All right. Anyway, this comes to a big surprise to everybody. But what I think comes in a bigger surprise is that Bobby Kotick, CEO of Activision Blizzard, has not stepped down. And I think that is concerning to some people. I'd say it's kind of concerning, considering that this is obviously a way to save the money for the CEOs and the owners of this. I mean, it's because what was going to happen is they were going to have to sell without a doubt. Like, and it would have been not $68 billion. So I think he kind of like said, well, you know, oh shit, I got to kind of step this up and do this. Cedric, this is big, right? I mean, is there a bigger acquisition than this? This is the hilt. I think the last one was like $12 billion. This is $68 billion. Like, I mean, that's a big jump.
They literally want all the chips on the table.
Yeah,
and it doesn't seem like it's going to be a crazy gamble because the company knows what they're doing when it comes to video games, and to acquire all these great companies. The sky's the limit. Sure. I just hope that they don't, you know, they don't kind of screw the pooch.
Yeah.
In a sense. I hope that in the acquisition, they don't hold back some of the things that make these companies great.
Yeah.
With like little, little mandates or whatever they'll have in the long run. So hoping that everything's positive for the future. But, you know, all we can do is see at this point.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Mike. What can we do to look forward to this? What can we look forward to? To be fair, I'm actually going to tell you one thing, and it's something that I did tell you guys beforehand that we're going to kind of come up with some predictions for crossovers. I think that is one thing that's kind of been on people's minds because there's so many opportunities to do this. Mike, what else is there?
I think that going back a little about how much this deal went for. Almost 3 years ago, Sony bought Insomniac for $229 million. Yep. Microsoft, who's got deep pockets, just paid like 13 times that for probably one of the largest companies in the Western Hemisphere. So I think that I think this pretty much solidifies Microsoft as like the console of the West again, and it makes me think of like the peak Xbox 360 days, where many people had played Call of Duty on the 360. I don't remember anyone talking about playing like Call of Duty or most of the shooters on a PS3.
Yeah, but
there's one with that. As far as the future goes, it's going to be interesting to like project what happens here. I would like to see Microsoft put more manpower into some of their other divisions like Raven Software, and hey, maybe we might get a new Singularity game or something.
Bocephus mentioned that a Crysis may get a new life. I don't know if we need Crysis? It. Do we need that? I don't know if we need that. Yeah.
Crisis. That's been another one of those shooters that's just kind of like
there. Yeah, there. Like, exactly.
It was like I played the trilogy, and it's like, yeah, this is a series that exists.
Yeah.
So I can't really imagine people are kind of clamoring for that.
Like, yeah, do we need it? Do we need that? I don't know.
Eight. And if anything, Microsoft's probably going to do a solid job of maybe giving them some more resources for them to work with, because a lot of their studios were just put in the one basket to work on Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much all that they would do. They would like release a few other games, but no one really cared that much. It was always, let's make Call of Duty accessible and have it play as best as possible. And if there was anything else that they had in like their laundry list of things, it generally got left in the back burner. Overwatch 2, when did we get any news about that?
No, well, we haven't. That's for sure. Yeah, James says WoW may finally get a console release, and it will be free to play if you have Game Pass. I think he's right on. I think he nailed it. I think that is just like one of those things. Obviously, we have Diablo on console. Why not Warcraft? I don't know. In my opinion, I think that kind of works out.
An idea. Yeah. Or like maybe StarCraft Ghosts. Maybe they can revive that.
I would. Yeah. You know, I mean, last time we had StarCraft on console was StarCraft 64.
That was such a
remember that? Time. Yeah, remember that?
Yeah. That's a throwback.
Yeah, yeah. And it was great. It was actually a great rendition of it, except you can only select 12 troops as opposed to like as many as you want on the PC. That's not that big a deal. So also James said maybe Heroes of the Storm will be saved to get a console release. Okay. Smite,
it's a possibility.
Get out of here.
it'd be really something to do. It'd be really great to like boost some of those like Blizzard properties that they really haven't done anything with for a while. They've got these popular games here, but some of them have just been like stuck in the rut, or they've just like let tournaments play through them. So
yeah,
it would go a long way.
All right. Well, there's more to this. They are now saying that workers at the Activision Game Studio say that they are trying to form a union. I think it's a good move. Obviously, we heard in the past, even Bobby Kotick said that he pretty much discouraged anyone trying to do that. But now that he's sold off all of his stakes to the company, he really doesn't have much to say anymore. I think this is a good move. Cedric, what say you? Is this a good move to unionize, because this just so this doesn't happen anymore? I don't know. Or is this cutting your nose off to spite your face?
When it comes to like anything like entertainment wise, it's always smart to do, in my opinion, for people who I know who are animators who work for films and stuff of that nature. The union protects them, especially from like, you know, the grueling hours of labor and everything that you have to do in order to get these type of projects out to the public and make sure they're done right, because sometimes you want to make deadlines, but at the same time you don't want to cut corners, because if you cheat the public out of what they were looking for in the game, you get a lot of disappointed people. Anthem, for instance, was one of those games where people were kind of excited, and then when they got the final product, they're like, what's this?
Yeah,
this is not what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I believe that with these unions being in place, it'll definitely better protect the artists, the creator, the developers, and that way everybody can.
Yeah, just the day-to-day worker. Yeah. I agree.
Because the last thing you want to do is keep on having people, you know, work, not see their families, and then still come back to crazy work situations.
Right. Mike, what say you about that?
Yeah, especially during the time of a pandemic where these workers aren't getting any kinds of like benefits. And the employees are I've forgotten what it was that I had seen on like CNBC last year. I had actually heard like a company representative refer to their workers as human stock, you know, like they're cattle or something. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's since engineers and programmers don't really get that kind of leverage. They get no leverage at all. Even with game sales, they don't see any of those. They don't see anything on like game unit sales. They're paid for their contract on the work that they put through the game, And that's pretty much it. And I've read so many issues from like companies like Nicalis and Exceed, where they've just treated their employees like garbage, either stole software from them and used it as their own, and you can't really take it up anywhere. So it doesn't really surprise me that a lot of the major companies are going to speak out against unions. What sure. I want to wonder is now, will Phil Spencer have like a word in who they're going to put in like the new CEO seat for Activision in order to oversee this? Because I still feel like Kotick's gone. I think that he's just going I think he's going to lay low and like get a better severance pay when he steps out so that he can have like the biggest golden parachute possible. Will they put another corporate stooge in his place that's just going to kind of be more of the same?
Yeah, I don't know. Although there was some talk from Bobby Kotick about some possible things that he believes that Microsoft could kind of take under their wing a little better than they can, which is a weird thing to say, pretty much. But he mentioned two different IPs, one being Skylanders. Okay, that's fine. I mean, the idea of Skylanders is a good idea, but the actual, you know, the playing of is whatever. Now, the other one that he mentioned is something that rings into my ear, and that's to bring back a possible new Guitar Hero. I loved Guitar Hero back in the day. I have the newest one, but it's just not like the old one. There's just something about it that isn't as good. Cedric, what do you think about any of those? Are you game with any of those, or you're like, no, we can move on? Like, what's going on?
Like with a Guitar Hero, I can see the appeal.
Yeah.
Especially, it wasn't that long ago, but nostalgia is a very powerful tool. And people wrote, at one point, that was one of the hottest games that ever existed. Everybody had a Guitar Hero in their hand. But it also, people's attention spans have now changed to the point that if you go to any thrift store, you see mounds upon mounds of Guitar Hero guitars and drum sets and everything. And it's like, damn. How can we make that different so it sustains much better in this day and age? Whereas before, getting together was all the rage. But nowadays, with the current COVID, climate,
yeah,
everybody's like, all right, cool, we could play. Let me go wipe this down. And like, how are we going to make this different? How are we going to bring back that magic, and how are we going to bring it?
Well, that's it's funny you say that, because James actually said this, VR Guitar Hero. That is the next step. That would be almost like you're in the room together. I guess that is one way to do it. And you can actually be like on stage with like a band and stuff. I could see that happening. I don't know how they could implement that, considering that, you know, Microsoft doesn't have a PSVR or anything like that. You know, I don't know. Maybe.
It's like you'd have to run it through Oculus.
Yeah.
So
it's an interesting idea, but how many of you guys remember Demolition Man?
The movie?
The movie.
Oh, yeah. Stallone. Of course.
You remember when he got to the point and Huxley,
Simon Bullock. Simon Phoenix is the best fucking villain name ever. And I will die on that hill. Go ahead.
One of my favorite lines he says is, I know who you remind me of, an evil Mr. Rogers. And I just laugh every time I hear that.
That's funny.
But do you remember the part where Huxley, his partner, who was Sandra Bullock in the 90s, looking hot as anything?
Absolutely.
And she said, would you like to make love? Would you like to have sex? And he's like, all right, cool, let's do this. And then she puts on this headset, and he's like, what the hell is this?
Right.
That's kind of how I feel about a VR.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he was, you know, that was like 40 years ago. He's kind of a, I don't even know what you would call it. Like, he's just an old man.
He's a man out of his time.
Yeah, literally. He just doesn't understand that. So I think if we were given the opportunity and to be in that time and grow with that time, we'd be like, yeah, no big deal. But yeah, I see what you're saying, which is really funny. And I'm so glad that there was a Demolition Man reference on this show. I appreciate you. So one of my favorites by far. All right. So there's that. Oh, but there's more. Sekiro. Yes, Sekiro apparently isn't owned by Xbox, despite the Activision acquisition, at least for now. because they're saying the creators have more of a handle, or more of a ownership of said game. It's not. We don't really have to talk much about Sekiro, Mike, if you want to. It's just. Is it going to matter in the end if they get it or not? I feel like that's one game that's kind of like it didn't have the right pull, I believe, to begin with. So I don't know.
Yeah, and didn't it win Game of the Year like 2019 or something?
I don't know if it was Game of the Year. No, I don't think it was Game of the Year.
But yeah, I figured at some point it'll get a PC port, and that'll just count anyway. Well,
that's a good point. Yeah, that's probably what will happen before anything. So
it does kind of make me laugh that like one of the news reports is now people sifting through like the Activision news and finding out which properties Microsoft is going to end up keeping for themselves keeping for the public. And in Microsoft's defense, they have honored a lot of their like time released exclusives. Like they easily could have like yanked production from like a bunch of other games or decommissioned them on PlayStation. Kind of similar to how after Insomniac was bought out, Sunset Overdrive died. So,
oh man, Sunset Overdrive is such a great game. It was so much fun. Yeah,
it's like I miss it something fierce.
Yeah, that's fair. How about this one? So now they're discussing the Activision executives are reportedly discussing the end of Call of Duty annual releases, which honestly I think is a fucking great thing because we keep getting this regurgitated product every single year of like, oh, it's the future now. Here's like a kind of a different gun, and you know, oh, now you can wall run, or so they always like throw in something like gimmicky. Cedric, what say you? Do you think this is good? It's almost like they should do the same thing as far as, in my opinion, for Madden and WWE 2K, because this is like the same game regurgitated again and again and again. Go ahead.
keeping it real, like think of it kind of like a relationship. How are you gonna miss me if I'm not gone for a little bit?
That's fair.
If you don't see me in a couple of days, that payoff at the end of the week is going to be like, oh, I missed you.
Yeah.
But if you see me like every single day in relation to like, games, especially like Call of Duty, even the Madden series, it's like, give it time to marinate.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not going to care as much. Like you said, they're going to throw out stuff that's gimmicky. And as you get done with it, you're like, now I'm playing just another random game that's the same as the last one.
Yeah.
Unless your story's fire, how is it going to make me forget about the last game versus this game?
I mean, the most different thing that Call of Duty has done is Warzone, I think, at least in the past 5 years or so. And it's been great, but you know why it's been great? It's free. That's why it's been great. Of course, you know. What say you, Mike? What do you think about that, them not putting it out every freaking year?
Yeah, it'll give you some time to refresh the engine or refresh the meta a little bit. Maybe like add some tweaks to the gunplay. I say that, but then I thought about Battlefield, which isn't an annual game, and yet they somehow managed to botch every Battlefield game since Battlefield 4. I'm in wholehearted agreement with like the idea of killing annual releases, especially if it's based off of the same engine. Unless you're changing the engine, which still there wouldn't even be a reason to make it annual, because like the WWE games, they like axed their old developer, and then they still tried to make it an annual game. They had like a production window of like 10 months, and that was like what, WWE 2K21, and the game was an absolute mess.
Yeah. I think that's why everyone is kind of looking forward to see what AEW does. What kind of game are they going to make? Because that's something to look forward to. Obviously, I'm a wrestling fan when it comes to even playing video games. I think you guys are too, right? Right? You guys play wrestling games?
I haven't played a wrestling game in quite some time.
Okay, that's okay.
But I remember when I did play them, I loved them.
Okay,
and they were all good for what they were.
For what they were. But Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mess around with Fire Pro wrestling world.
Dude, I got to tell you, Fire Pro is one of the most fun I've ever had playing a wrestling game, just because it has that old school feel, that old school wrestling video game feel to it. Right. Yeah, it's a good call.
Makes me think of those like LGN.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I love those. Did you know after a certain, I think, I forgot which one it was, me and my brother found this out randomly. If you ran into the referee or the games that you could knock out the referee, if you did it 25 times, the referee would get up, do this, and then the game would shut off.
Like,
really?
It just shut off?
It would just shut off. He would do this, and the game would just stop.
Wait, which game is that?
I'm trying to remember which one.
Oh, my God. I want to know.
It was one of them where you could run into the referee and knock him down.
Okay, I'm going to try this out.
Yeah.
I have WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, and Raw, so I'm going to try that out.
Absolutely.
Because you do it like at least 20 times, because we just like got bored one day, and we just kept going
around the turnbuckles.
And then knocking him down, and then all of a sudden, like, all right, cool, let's get up and start fighting again. We've been doing this for a while. He's like, all right, cool. As soon as the ref got up, he shook his head, did this, game shut off.
So what did it do? It brought you back to like to the main screen?
Nope. It just went blank and stayed there. We had to hit reset in order to play the game again.
Which console?
It was definitely Super Nintendo.
Okay. There you go. All right. We can at least narrow it down then. Yeah, we can at least narrow it down. Interesting. I've never heard of that. That's really cool. Good call.
Yeah, it's a cool piece of trivia.
Yeah, right? I never do. Now I really want to know which game. Anyone in the chat room know? That's what I'm like. Let's start with them. The other thing that in this case doesn't have to do with Activision, but does have to do with Blizzard. It turns out Overwatch producer Tracy Kennedy has blamed Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick for the problems that have plagued the game and development on its sequel, which comes to no surprise to most of us, as far as I'm concerned. This is exactly what she says. She said, she replied to a thread from there was an interview that Bobby Kotick did with Games Beat, I believe. Yes, that's what it was. He pretty much explained the delay of Overwatch 2 and Overwatch 4, Diablo 4, excuse me, Overwatch 4. We're not there yet. And the declining stock prices and all that. The woman, Tracy Kennedy, the creator of one of the games, he says, Bobby, tell everyone about the random projects for Overwatch 1 you would shove on us. The team would do overtime for only them to get canceled, and for months of Overwatch 2, dev to have been lost, or how almost entire teams are turning over and citing you as the reason. Don't be shy. this comes with no surprise. We're all pretty much saying that Bobby Kotick needs to go. And this pretty much tells you right there that, you know, just because he gives you this lip service, it really feels like he's the one that's lying in this case, because everyone else seems to know something different. I don't know. Do you play Overwatch, Cedric?
I started and I haven't been able to get back into it.
That's okay.
I like the game. I like what it does. But yeah, like I like the system. But yeah, I was waiting for a new Overwatch for like the longest time, because all my friends play it and they're like, waiting for two. But it's like, keep giving me all these other packets. It's like, know when it's time to go and do something else rather than staying here and just keep giving us stuff. Because even like your favorite TV show would eventually end. It wouldn't just keep going until you're like, damn, this show's still on?
Right? Yeah, that's kind of the same idea, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. By the way, Mike, so Bozeef has just challenged a Patreon challenge. So if you are a Patreon to the show, it's a $10 plus Patreon. If you are that, which Bozeef is, you can suggest challenges. And as you could see, Mike, I'm guessing he's gearing this one towards you. You're going to have to do it. So he says, February Patreon challenge, find that game and post a video of beating up the ref.
Can do.
All right, cool. Challenge accepted. Yes. Thank you, Bocephus. So we do appreciate all of those. So, this comes at no surprise. But I do want to end on a more of a, a lighter note, and that is predictions of crossovers. The one I really want to see is Soldier 76 to get Master Chief's skin. I feel like that is a good marriage and a good an easy. It's kind of low hanging fruit. I get it. You don't have to tell me. But
low hanging fruit is delicious sometimes because it's right there.
That's true. It's right. Oh, it's right here.
You got to give the people what they want.
That's got to exactly. Give what they want. So okay, what say you, Mike? You go first this time. Give us a prediction. Is there a crossover you want to see?
Well, something with Minecraft's obviously going to happen because Minecraft is like the largest thing on the planet. So you could probably throw some worlds in there for some customization for probably. I was about to say Assassin's Creed, but that's Ubisoft, wrong company. Other than that, I could probably I'd definitely be down for like maybe some Overwatch skins. Is Sea of Thieves still a thing?
Sea of Thieves is still a thing. That's an interesting thought. Because that's a rare game, right? Sea of Thieves is rare, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I'm like trying.
so like there could be some sick crossover potential there. And also, Microsoft, if you're hearing this, get Double Helix. Revamp Killer Instinct. Revamp Killer Instinct 2011. Bring some Overwatch characters into that. Bring some StarCraft personalities into that.
Yes.
I think that that'd be kind of rad. And also, hey, you could probably blend the Protoss and the Zords from StarCraft into Halo.
Todd's in there, and he said Master Chief in Heroes of the Storm, Rainer suit skin in Halo MP. Yeah, definitely. I can see that. And then James said Conker skin for Hammond for Overwatch. I like that a lot, actually. Cedric, what about you? What are your do you have a prediction or two or three or many or none? That's fine too.
I actually have none. I'm like,
no, it's fine.
It's because there's so much that I'd rather like not get my hopes up, like, you know, stuff like that.
No.
I just see it through.
That. Yeah, no, I totally get that. I think it's really sets up for stuff for some exciting future gaming. This deal, please, everyone that's listening, understand that this deal is not just good for Microsoft. This deal is good for gamers. This is something that everyone should look at, and this hopefully will change the culture, especially over at Activision Blizzard. And because, you know, obviously when it comes to Microsoft, we all know they are squeaky fucking clean. They've never had any type of, you know, bad things against them other than maybe a failed game here or there. But nothing on the, you know, like harassment.
Trying to launch the Xbox One as a DRM machine.
Those bastards.
But other than that, yeah, I've always been cool with Microsoft. I think if there's like one other thing that I wanted to mention there was, I'm glad that a lot of these acquisitions aren't like dissolved, because like we brought it up earlier about like dissolving the names and then just consolidating the studios and such. And it makes me think of like a decade plus ago when like Nintendo would buy a company. Like Silicon Knights, who produced Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem, one of my favorite GameCube games ever. But they bought the studio, dissolved the talent, and you never hear from the game ever again. So I like now that with these acquisitions, they just let the companies be their own thing. Like Sega bought Atlus, and Atlus produces Persona stuff, and that makes Sega lots of money. They didn't buy up the talent and eat them up, and you no longer hear about them again. Like Westwood Studios. I loved Westwood Studios as a kid. I loved Command & Conquer. Electronic Arts bought the name. Westwood's gone, and Command & Conquer's been a decayed husk of an IP ever since.
And now Westwood is in sports.
Yay.
They've taken that name now. So that's one. Yeah. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about when it comes to Activision Blizzard? We can move on. If not,
I don't, think it's mostly just waiting to see what becomes.
I totally agree.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Cool. So, but we have to stick with stupid CEOs. Are you, is that okay with you guys? Because
Randy Pitchford do something.
Yeah. What's that?
Randy Pitchford do something.
No. That's really funny though. PlayStation creator Ken Kutaragi. Is that how you say it? Kutaragi? Sure, whatever.
Kutaragi?
Okay. Say that again?
Kutaragi?
Thank you. That's probably exactly how you say it, and I can't do that. So, yeah. I appreciate that. Keep in mind, he's 71 years old, creator of PlayStation, and he said in an interview with Bloomberg, because, you know, obviously when it comes to video game news, I go to Bloomberg, you know.
But, you know it.
Of course not, but in this case there was an interview, and this is what he said. He says the biggest issue with virtual reality headsets like Sony's PSVR2 is the fact that devices stop you from being in the real world. Headsets would isolate you from the real world, and I can't agree with that. Headsets are simply annoying. Okay, this guy's seen Ready Player One way too many times. Are headsets annoying? I'm just gonna come out and say it. Headsets annoying. Cedric, go.
There's like a certain level of immersion that, you know, happens with the headsets, which is great.
Yes,
but at the same time, like, there's that distorted feel when you take them off and be like, wait a minute. What's happening?
Whoa! I mean, I've gotten dizzy. I've definitely gotten dizzy when playing VR. But I mean, to me, it's the next step, man. It's the next step.
It is, but it's not quite there.
Not yet. Oh, I agree. Mike. Okay.
Yeah, it's you know.
Oh, no, wait. Cedric, forward, you want to finish? Sorry, I stepped on you.
It's all good. I was trying to get off the fence. You know. They just have to come with a better design. Call back.
Right on.
They just have to have a better design of the actual headset and how it sits on your head, because that's part of it as well. Because normally they fit on and then they apply a small amount of pressure. And it's like, can we have something that's a little bit better than that? Maybe it might help with the experience going forward.
Yeah, I agree. Mike, what about you? Are headsets annoying?
I've got a big head, so some of them
is,
like,
is head it, sex annoying? That's what I'd like to know. Go ahead, sir.
Not head yet. I've had the headset on like a few times, and it does have like a mild disorienting feeling. It's not really that bad. I guess if you sit and play for it for like maybe more than an hour or so. Then you get that wild. Then you get like a mild disorienting feeling from it. But it's not as terrible as I thought it would. If there's anything that does kind of throw me off, is like the two different lenses, are like presenting the views at you, and it feels a little bit like an IMAX. A theater in your head.
Yeah. I agree.
And it's like pretty surreal. Annoying. I'm not really. It's not really. That's like one of the most old man yells at clouds.
Thank you. Yeah. I think he's out of touch. Come on. I mean, he's 71 years old. The VR has got to be this new thing. I mean, it's new to all of us pretty much. So like to him, it's blowing his mind. And which is why he thinks, you know, reality is the only thing that's real. That's another quote from Ready Player One. But anyway, I agree. I definitely agree. It is the old man yelling at the clouds. Those damn kids.
Yes. Get off my lawn.
Whatever. Sticking with PlayStation, PlayStation has one of their biggest problems is something that people do not talk about. And it's actually something that Xbox solved, and I believe 2018, I want to say 2018, 2019, when they implemented the one button controller, for impaired people and stuff, like they can't play with two hands.
Yeah.
There's a YouTuber name of Akaki Kumari. Sure. Yeah, obviously he's not American. But I actually have a quick video. You guys can kind of see what I'm talking about. He invented a way that if you only have one hand, one arm, whatever, you can play, as you could see, for those that are just listening that can't see this, he's playing with his right hand. In order to move the joystick left to right, there's a little thing on the bottom that you rest on your thigh, and it actually works that if, when you pull it to the right, it goes to the right, left, left, up, down. And
that's
on,
smart.
And on top of that, he's got the L2 and L2 L1 on the same side as well. So you can kind of reach over there and click them both. So as somebody that's embarrassed that you can actually play the game, I find this very interesting. I find this extremely innovative. And this has got to be something that PlayStation needs to embrace and kind of go forward with and not sue them for making something that they never thought of, which is what they do very often.
It'd be a PR nightmare.
It would be a PR nightmare, right? Like, so, but there's the other side of it too, because you're probably, when you looked at that video, you're probably, well, what about, you know, up, down, left, right? What about the D-pad? Well, he actually invented a little thing that clicks on there. So it clicks on the front.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
It clicks on, you see that?
Love the ingenuity. Nice.
It shows you the side here. So yeah, I mean, it's very cool. I love that it kind of works out. I mean, it looks kind of bulky. I think there's a way to make this better. You make a controller. That's one-handed. You know, like, it's not like a DualSense controller turned into a one-handed controller. You just make a new controller just like Xbox did. I just find it very interesting and innovative. I just wanted to share it with everybody.
As a guy that builds a lot of different stuff,
yeah,
that is very innovative. Sure. That is a very smart way to do it. The only thing in my inventor mind that I was thinking of as I saw it being, you know, demonstrated is, what if you're a lefty?
Oh, well, that's I'm glad you said that, because in the video, and here I'll post it up on the chat so you guys can watch it. At the end of the video, he actually covers that. I'm glad you asked that, because I was going to forget. He actually covers that, and what it is all you have to do is you take the 3D printed file and mirror it. And he actually showed you in later in that video, he showed you how to do that. So
that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty cool, pretty innovative. I think PlayStation, you know what? We're calling you out. It's time for you guys to step up and do that, because there is a side of gamers that I know for a fact. I mean, we had Nomad on. He's a disabled gamer, and he plays with his face. It's the most amazing story. We interviewed him a few months back, so you should go back and listen to that if you never have. It's really, really interesting. But then follow Nomad, because he games all the time. He's such a good dude. Bocephus even said Nomad is awesome. See, he even knows. So,
Street Fighter player Broly Legs also plays with like his.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah, that's right. So there's a whole genre of people that need this. They do. And I just love that. It's just one of those things that I enjoy that. That's cool. Good, good.
Yeah. Like, gaming is for everyone.
Yes, I agree.
Exactly.
It should be anyway, right? Right? Right. Let's go to another CEO. Are you guys excited about another CEO? Another CEO, his name is Strauss Zelnick. I got that one. He is the CEO of Take-Two, okay? Obviously, Take-Two just put out the GTA trilogy, which had terrible glitches, and it was just a horrible release. It was a horrible release, and whatever. Apparently, in a recent interview that he had, I believe on CNBC, is that the glitch, the glitch, he calls it the glitch, like there's only one only one thing happened wrong, so apparently it is quote-unquote resolved. Okay, that's fine. But then he goes on to say, He says, with regards to the GTA trilogy, that was actually not a new title, which we kind of all know. He goes, there was a remastered and pre-existing titles. We did have a glitch in the beginning. The glitch was resolved. That's what he said. But then he also said that the GTA trilogy has just been great for the company. Cool. Good. I'm glad you got our money. another CEO that's out of touch that doesn't put gamers first. And it just makes me crazy. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, he like fucking decommissions the original games off of like the other launchers and then goes, here, buy the definitive trilogy. Yeah. And the game's an absolute mess. Like, no, that's not a win.
No.
You don't get a win for like breaking a window and then replacing the window. You broke the window.
Exactly.
although they're going to thank you for replacing the window if you do. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, look at this grand achievement that we made. We fixed that glitch. is this where we are now?
This is where we are. See, that's what I'm saying. This is the video game culture, and it starts at the top. I can't stress that enough. It starts at the top, and if a CEO is saying shit like this, you know he treats the employees the same. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. Cedric, what say you?
How do you pronounce his name again? This gentleman,
Strauss Zelnick.
So when you said it to me, I wasn't familiar with his like who he was until you told me what he did.
I'm like, okay.
So the first thing I thought of, this man has to be a villain from Die Hard. And as you told
Hans
me,
Hans Gruber's
did,
brother.
Exactly. He definitely runs with Hans Gruber.
That's funny.
Who's notorious for doing nonsense. And from what you said about what he did with the GTA series, he's definitely a villain. Because
he probably smokes cigarettes too, right?
Yes. Right? He's like, get Mr. McLean. Like, he's like, this is definitely some villain shit. He's like, all right, take this property that we know and love and do fuck all with it. Just give them
do whatever you want.
Just give them base, sprinkle sugar on shit, call it chocolate, and hand it to the masses.
Just like, oh, I want to eat this. Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, it's GTA, but it's not fixed. It's like, why'd you sell me this?
Why?
And he's like, thanks for your money.
Thanks for your money. Like, get the fuck out of here. Whatever. So I'm tired of CEOs just being out of touch, because that's what they are. At the end of the day, that's what's happening. They are out of touch. Okay.
So like at the very least, CD Projekt Red did a fumbling job of trying to handle their message about the debacle.
Well, they admitted it, at least. They did it the right way, even though their game was...
Get in front of it.
Yeah. But it's so funny that they did it the right way. And we were talking. It's funny, as much as we're talking about Activision Blizzard, a year ago, we were talking about CD Projekt Red the same way. So, but you know, now that we've seen the more of the evil, we could see that CD Projekt Red, as Mike, as you just said, is not too bad. All right, cool. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Good.
Like, I think I
won't give you my money, but thank you.
I think I talked about it the last time I was on here. They're not hiding the fact that they're villains now.
Yeah.
They just don't care. It's like, well, people are going to buy our stuff because they want their games. What are they going to do? Stop supporting it?
Yeah, really. This one's for you, Cedric. He said, Bosifus said, Hans Gruber doing villain shit sounds like a good GTA 6 DLC. I agree.
The Hans Gruber method. I love it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's what we need. Does Microsoft own Die Hard now? Are we... Are we gonna get Hans Gruber skins? Are we gonna get whatever? All right. One thing leads to another. Apparently, and it's something that we've kind of talked about, and I know Mike, you've posted it on GameFixShow.com about E3. And like, I think we talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago, something like that. Well, they're saying that E3 2022, the digital event they're talking about, is a quote unquote mess and probably also will get canceled. And it's something that I said, actually, it was funny on our Facebook page, on GameFix Facebook page. Somebody commented on one of the articles, I believe that you posted, Mike, about about E3, because we said something about E3's being canceled.
Oh, yeah.
I was like kind of being funny about that. Well, it turns out we weren't being funny. We were absolutely right. And so, yeah, I don't know. Cedric, do you know anything about E3? Do you keep up with that kind of stuff? Because like nowadays E3 is kind of dying.
Oh yeah.
You know,
It used to be something we covered on the show a lot.
And it used to be like an event, right? It used to be
something worthwhile.
Absolutely.
But it's just been constant trips for like at least the last 2 years, been constant trips to the DMV. It's like, I know I have to be here, but I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And it never works out the way it's supposed to. So it's like, even all these other companies that'll be like, you know what, state of play, forget E3. We don't, because they're not doing anything we want. There's always something that's nonsense. So it's like, why even bother?
Yeah.
I saw maybe last year, 2 games I gave a damn about. And then, why did I waste this time watching this video?
And it's like, why do I want to go to E3 and stand in a line for 3 hours to play a game for 5 minutes?
Correct.
I'm sorry. But then again, you say that, like, well, you go to Disney World, right? You sit in a line for 3 hours and you ride a ride for 2 minutes. But whatever. At least you get a ride. I think that's the difference.
I got an express pass and I didn't end up waiting.
Yes.
I got an in.
Bocephus, thank you for reminding us. I actually know this and I kind of didn't think about it. There is a McClane skin from Die Hard in Warzone. I completely forgot. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, why not Hans Gruber, right? Why not?
Why not?
bye-bye E3. I don't really care anymore.
No one's gonna miss it. Like, it's gonna be like Toys R Us. People are like, oh, boo-hoo, it's gone. But people made fun of it for years.
Yep,
so
yep.
Yeah, and they sold me bum freaking Dreamcast, so they deserve to die.
Exactly.
Of course they deserve to die. They deserve to burn in hell. Exactly. Yes, absolutely. All right. Are you guys ready to move on from that? I think I'm good with E3. I don't really want to talk about E3 that much. So that's
okay. I got one last thing to say about it.
Sure.
Unless these guys pull Final Fantasy, as in the origin of Final Fantasy, and say this is our last E3 and come back with the most amazing shit ever, they're doomed. Unless they do that.
Okay. All right. I mean, I guess time will only tell with that. That's pretty much all it is. So, all right, let's move on to something a little more fun. Is that okay? And it happens to not to do with a CEO. I mean, well, maybe it did at some point, but as far as what we're talking about, no. So free games.
Ah, man, I'm all out of cash.
That's what we do. So when you're out of cash, we tell you that there's some free games out there. But this time, Mike, you're going to tell us about a free game out there that you posted actually on our website, gamefixshow.com. And what game is that, Michael?
If you have a chance to sign on for the Nintendo Switch Online service plus expansion pack,
we do not get paid for this. I just want to let you know. This is not a paid spoken part. Go ahead. Yeah, anyway.
You will have access to Majora's Mask, Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask in February. This is another one that they're adding to the pack. And again, I'll give Nintendo a little bit of credit. That service got shit on when they first announced it because the extra price point and the games that were available are pretty much like the token Nintendo 64 games that you'll get. So charging someone $50 for like these same dirt old ROMs, It's pretty bad. So, all right, you've given them like Majora's Mask, along with Ocarina of Time, Mario Kart. Still, a lot of the games that were never ported over here haven't come over yet. And Majora's Mask, I actually like a little more than Ocarina of Time. It's a game that I've always kind of had.
That's funny because most people say the other way around.
Yeah, like that's. I mean, that's one that's probably going to be a retro reboot one day. I'm just playing through it a little bit before I like put together my thoughts in a manner that won't get me crucified.
Well, okay. Well, speaking of, you did bring it up. I kind of glossed over it at the beginning because we had the great guest today of Sir Wednesday here.
Bling.
All right, Mike, you got to tell us this week, what is your retro reboot? If you're not familiar what that is, Mike puts it out every Tuesday between noon and 1 o'clock, and it is a review of a retro video game, and we call it the retro reboot. So go ahead, Mike, what is this week? I don't even know. You're going to surprise us.
Yes, this week I'm reviewing pretty boss multiplayer game, X-Men Legends.
Oh, cool. On the original Xbox. Nice.
Yeah. Like, it came out for, like, the PS2 and the GameCube as well. There's also a port on the N-Gage. I didn't even know that. Oh, like, know you want to
scan the N-Gage.
Yeah. Capsule, like the Nokia N-Gage. But yeah, X-Men.
Hey, I got
Legends.
This Nokia N-Gage. It's got X-Men on it. Who needs it?
Taco on it. Imagine
I got X-Men and Flappy Bird. What's up?
I don't like Flappy Bird. Be holding phones for it like this. What to do?
What music video was? Didn't they use the N-Gage for a music video? And was it Ashanti or something like that? That was mad that she didn't get a text message back, but she was just using spreadsheet. So that
yeah, I feel like that was a
it Ashanti
thing, yeah.
Or something like that? I believe I got to go back and look at it. But it's just like of course you're not going to get a reply because that's not a message service. Anyway. All right. We'll look for that. That'll be Tuesday, like I said, noon, 1 o'clock, gamefixshow.com. Yes.
That was also an Activision game. So.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
No, it was Raven Software's first video game ever.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we're going to, is there a crossover with that? What do you
Oh God!
Who knows?
If they did that, I would love it. Like they did that Marvel Battle Alliance, but I think that was like Tecmo Koi or like Team Ninja, and it tries to emulate the Legends and the Marvel Alliance games, but it's not the same.
It falls short.
So like if like Microsoft struck some kind of deal with like Disney or something, and hey, let us have the X-Men rights, and we can like do a new X-Men Legends game. I think that would be boss. You put that on there with like online multiplayer co-op, try and kill the latency as much as possible. I think you've got a banger.
Okay.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. Well, all right. So you get Majora's Mask for free. Great. Who cares? It's not really for free though, to be fair. It's not free.
It's never for free.
Yeah, you pay every year for this, but then you get these on top of it, which means it's not free. That's what that means.
So. Yeah, I love the definition of free.
Who has the X-Men license, James asked. I believe, isn't it Sony?
It's Disney now.
Is it Disney now? Or is it
yeah,
because
they
Sony?
Bought Fox.
For the video Fox. Game license? I think the video game license gets handled by somebody else, but I'm not sure.
You don't think they would grab up everything? Because think about it. When they start making movies, they'll probably want to make video games. They don't want to just be like, look, you got this, but you want to talk to Ray Ray down the street. Nah. They want to get the whole
Ray Ray. Okay. Sony has the movie license. Gotcha. But not for gaming. All right.
Sony has what? Really?
They have the X-Men. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They're going to get it back.
That's probably how it goes.
That's That's fascinating.
Yeah,
I assumed in the 20th Century Fox deal, they just like Disney just got it back. But
that's what I thought too. Yeah.
I guess just like the Spider-Man rights, the distribution's just all over the place.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But in the 90s, they were having like flash sales with everything. So it's like buy this. Who'd you sell that to? I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
That's right.
All right, a tweet that went out on Nintendo of Europe. I don't know, Mike, I don't know if you follow Nintendo of Europe. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Do you follow Nintendo of Netherlands?
Netherlands, I haven't followed them yet.
Do you follow Nintendo UK?
UK,
I don't know why. I don't even know why I'm asking these questions. but it turns out they did tweet all of them, except for I looked and Nintendo of America did not tweet this. But they did. They all tweeted Gaha. Mike, what the hell is that? What does that mean? GUH-HUH. That's all that was. What does that mean to you?
It's Banjo Kazooie.
Like that? So does that mean? So Banjo Kazooie is coming to Nintendo. Is that what we're thinking?
Yep. That's another one that is one. Heading to. If it's not already available on the expansion pack,
yeah.
So if you like your puzzle platformers, it's interesting because I believe that now. Banjo-Kazooie's both on Xbox and the Nintendo Switch right now.
Yeah.
So that's some really interesting crossover.
That's my new favorite drop now. Anytime. I'm like, wait. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like Goofy swallowed.
Gorge. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about video games? Because we're going to move on to some movies, TV news, whatever. Anyone? Yes, no.
I think I'm out.
You think you're out? I think I'm and I will move on from there. Sorry. I'm an idiot. All right. So there was a clip that was posted on YouTube, and if you haven't seen it yet, here, I'll put it in the chat so you guys can. It is it's a scene that has been released, but only released in a certain country, and I believe it was an ad for like a game that they were playing on their cell phone. They recorded it. And it's about a 5 minute clip a 2.5 minute clip of the new, the Batman movie. It looks good. You don't see what's his face? The guy playing Batman. Come on, help me out.
Pattinson.
Yeah. You don't see him in the cowl or anything like that. But okay. All right. This looks like something that could be interesting. I don't know. Did you guys get a chance to watch it?
I did not.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Mike?
I think it's pretty grim. Grim in a good way.
Yeah.
So I feel like the staff behind this really did a great job of converting what looks like the long Halloween story into a film. I don't want to say it's like the best Batman movie that we'll probably get.
Well, we don't know that yet. It hasn't come out yet. To be fair.
I really love the cinematography for this. Okay. It's really cool.
I mean, the best part about this scene, and I can't say the best part, but I'm just saying like the coolest part, I feel like, is Pattinson doesn't say a fucking word. No. He doesn't utter anything, and I think that's what kind of like set the tone of this scene. So you guys give yourself if you're listening to the recorded version of this, go back to our Facebook broadcast, and you can kind of see it there. You can click on that link and watch it. It's really interesting. You should do it, Cedric. You too.
I will.
Okay, good.
Like the people that said that, oh, Pattinson can't play a Batman. He doesn't look intimidating enough.
Why not?
I think he looks like a serial killer.
Oh yeah,
totally. Yeah, I agree. He actually could be a villain. He could pass it as a villain. So.
Oh yeah.
Easily. Yeah, like a vampire or something.
Oh my god.
Or a wizard. I'm so sorry.
It was gonna happen.
Yeah,
it was gonna happen.
And his name was Cedric. That's right.
Yes,
that's
it was. Okay. You wouldn't believe how many Harry Potter girls after me. Because they're like, your name is Cedric? I'm like, yes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you know what you say after that? Mm-hmm. And I'm still alive. That's what you say.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I tell them I would have ducked.
I would have ducked.
When somebody's pointing a curse that you know is bad at you, you don't sit there and stay there. I would have ducked. What are you, weird?
I loved it. That's such a good line. I would have ducked.
I'm in this dark world with hooded people after me. You, sir, what are you up to? Like, dodge.
That's a pretty crazy scene, though. When he dies, though,
it turns the entire story.
Yeah, it totally did.
But yeah, he's definitely the Ricky. He's the Ricky of Boys in the Hood, but in Harry Potter. Because instead of straight, he should have serpentine.
Yeah.
He's like, If he juked, he would have been alive.
You would have been right. All right. Well.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess he would have thrown another one at him if he missed him.
Exactly.
I don't know. Whatever. You know, he didn't try. He was just like, I'm going to point my stick at you. And that's about it. Wand, excuse me. Sorry. All the Harry Potter people are going to go crazy for that.
But he said the words. He wasn't wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He said, Azaba. And you're like, bye.
Yeah, well, I mean, at that point, I know we're getting on a Harry Potter tangent here, definitely. But like Voldemort even said, kill the extra or something. I can't remember exactly what he said, but he pretty much told him to do it. So like he knew it was coming.
That's true.
Yeah, whatever. My boy. All right. Sorry. That's so sad. All right. Let's move on from that. Okay. You guys watch Squid Games by any chance? I haven't. I haven't watched any of it. Have you, Mike? I don't think
I caught like two episodes.
Oh, you really did? Okay, I haven't even. I haven't even done that. Well,
I'll get to it.
I will at least mention this because since we can't really talk about it because we haven't really seen it, Squid Games, or at least Netflix has confirmed that it will get a second season. I know a lot of people were questioned about that. So, if you are a Squid Game fan, season two is coming.
Cool.
So,
it's probably going to be like a new cast since the other one's essentially a death game show. So,
to ruin it for us. I'm kidding. I know.
Yeah. Well, they'll say if the memes haven't spoiled it.
All right.
By now.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, also Netflix. They released a new trailer.
Welcome in. Is Cowbug Man. They like to roll the dice.
Cuphead is getting its own animated show, obviously because nobody has a cup in real life as a head, so that makes sense that it's animated. But it's called The Cuphead Show, and it will be on Netflix. Did you guys get a chance to play any Cuphead, or as Verlaine likes to say, Cafeed? Because that's how you would pronounce it if anyway. Cedric, go ahead. Have you played Cuphead?
I have not. I recently learned about Cuphead, and I'm like, what is this? But with Netflix, it's like wherever it's going to go, you're going to see if it's going to be good or not. And I don't know. I'll give it a shot. I'm always looking for good entertainment.
The trailer very reminisced the game, which is good. Like the art factor in the game, which is by far one of the coolest looking games, at least in my opinion, out there right now. It really is. It's that cool. So to see it animated and see it like a show, yeah, I'm in. What about you, Michael?
It's too bad that the show doesn't like completely emulate the Rubber Hose animation. Because it'd probably be expensive as hell to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to this. I feel like it's like tailor made for like a series, like a little mini series. And yeah, I love the game. The game puts me in the mind of like Contra and Metal Slug.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm going to talk to Verlaine about it. Games. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to talk to Verlaine about it, but hopefully we can when that comes out, we can talk about it on the show. We watch that. We'll talk about it on the show, and you know, after we're done with the Return of the Fandalorian. Yeah, I play that every time I say it. By the way, if you guys haven't noticed. All right. Sorry. Like anyone else can say it. Say it. Anyone else say Return. Look, go ahead. Go ahead. Anyone.
Return of the Fandalorian.
Just like that. Easy as that. All right, last. Real quick though, Netflix has ordered another. A reboot, this has nothing to do with video games. It has nothing to do with anything, but it does have to do with cooking. And I don't know if you are like me, but as a younger chap, I was into Iron Chef, like it was my job. Like I love that show. I love the competition and everything about like. But it's all like amazing cooking, you know. So Netflix has ordered a reboot of Iron Chef, and I'm very excited about that. That's just me.
That's another thing that hits in like the nostalgia feels. Like I never expected to hear like Iron Chef be referenced again.
Yeah,
but yeah, I watched it quite a bit. It's up there with I don't try to remember what the other show was I don't know if you remember this, but it was on like Spike TV, and it was kind of like Wipeout, but it had like wacky dubbed voices.
Yeah,
over it.
It was extreme. I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name of it, but
like the name escapes me. But I love that like various comedians with like. Pop in with like wacky with like the wacky dubs and stuff, like anything that makes me think of Kung Pao, I'm a fan of.
Yeah, totally. So. I'm in. Yeah, I agree. Did we lose Sir Wednesday? Where'd he go?
I believe he had to run to the restroom.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. Yeah, go do your thing, bro. Last but not least, and we'll get to this too. We're gonna go to the Return of the Mandalorian. So just so you know. The last thing I want to announce that the BBC and Netflix, of course, this, we're stick with the Netflix theme here, has announced that they are doing a reboot of Wallace and Gromit, which is awesome. I don't know if you ever watched Wallace and Gromit. It is a stop-go animation, clay animation, and it was a lot of fun as a kid. I don't know. Did you watch any of that?
Yeah, I loved it. Stop-motion claymation. Like I was always a sucker for that. And yeah, that was like one of the shows that I watched with my dad growing up, and my mom always looked at it and went, I don't get it. But yeah, I always loved it. I believe this would be like the second or third comeback for Wallace.
I think you're right.
Because I think that they came back in like either the late 90s and then again in like the mid 2000s. And then they did like Chicken Run movies for like,
oh yeah, bit. That's right. Yeah. And, with the sheep
and you know, now they're coming back to Wallace and Gromit. So
yeah, we're getting a new Wallace and Gromit. I don't know if you heard that.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It's coming.
I love that movie.
Me too. Yeah. So it's coming back. The Wrong Trousers. I don't know if that's what they're gonna go with, but yeah. So look for that on hopefully on Netflix as well. Oh, you know what? I totally forgot about it, and I'm glad I just remembered now. Another reboot that we're going to see is King of the Hill. And I think that
I heard about that.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Judge is making a huge comeback. You know, King of the Hill's coming back, and there's going to be a new Beavis and Butthead movie on Paramount Plus. So, like, he's coming back in a big way, and I'm all here for it. Absolutely.
So, like, Rugrats came back like late last year. You don't know what the one thing that I would love to see come back?
Tommy Pickles be a murderer.
You remember Nickelodeon Guts?
Sorry, of course. Oh, I remember Nickelodeon? Do I remember? Yeah, Michael Malley. The Aggro Crag? Are you kidding me?
Oh my God. Hey, like, hell yeah. I mean, like, they're doing a lot of these reboot shows. Bring back Nickelodeon Guts, because, like, I miss that.
I'm into that. Well, then, speaking of Nickelodeon, didn't they bring back
Legends
of the Hidden Temple? Temple. When I was a kid, I went to Universal Studios when the Nickelodeon thing was there, you know, the big the geyser and all that. And I got to tour that set of Legends of the Hidden Temple, so that was cool.
Nice. I'm so jealous. Cool.
I wasn't on the show, but I got to at least tour it, and that was awesome. Yeah, so
that's what's just up.
Throw that out there. Yeah, I've always wanted to be a green monkey. Let's go. Silver barracuda or whatever they are.
Purple parrots.
Yeah, purple parrots. Oh, man, if only. That's okay. That's all right. Whatever. But they're bringing it back, and it's like an adult version of it.
Okay.
So there won't be stupid cool. people trying to build. What am I saying? There's going to be stupid people. I'm sure. So, all right. Are you guys ready to do the return of the Mandalorian episode 4 of the Book of Boba Fett?
Yes, bring it.
Okay. All right.
I have not seen any episodes. Keep going.
Oh, you haven't seen them? I asked you and you said yes. You lied to me.
I didn't see that.
You lied to me.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Well, then, is this going to spoil it? Because this is totally going to... We're spoiling it, so...
Go for it.
Okay,
go
cool. Well, coming off from the last episode, which sucked, by the way, episode 3 sucks, Cedric. We got a new episode, if you will. I don't know. I'm not actually kind of like... I'm back, I feel like, because the last episode was so daunting and so terrible, and oh, I thought it was awful. That this one kind of gave us a little bit hope for the rest of the rest of the season. What say you, Mike? Did you at least enjoy it? And then we'll get to it.
I liked it a little better than the last episode. It's really starting to fall into like a pattern. It's like, we open up with a Fett and Fennec doing something. Then it cuts to an overly long flashback of a thing.
Yeah, it's all that. That's the weird thing about this show, right? It's like, what's going on? Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I like to do something like take a few notes, or I'll type on the laptop somewhere, and then I'll look up. And this happened with like the last episode. He was on a back to tank, and then like the Wookiee shows up, and he's like choking him. I'm like, what the fuck did I miss? In this episode, it's like kind of the same thing. There's like a bit where like he's like on the the giant ram monster. The name's escaping me.
The Rancor.
Yeah. Batha, or is it the Batha, like the big horn?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the that he was riding on, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like riding on that, and then he finds like Finnick down in the desert, and I was like, did she get attacked again off screen? And then I realized that happened in The Mandalorian. So we're in another flashback of how he saved Fennec and why those two are partnering around. Well, kind of, sort of. So that like kind of disjointed storytelling, it's really throwing me off.
Yeah, that's fair. I thought it was very cool though, as far as how they showed how they brought her back. They put in she's pretty much a robot in her abdomen.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Her midsection is pretty much turned into like Rosie from like the Jetsons.
Yeah, and they showed like the tubes of like the blood going through it, and it just looked like a goldfish tube that you would like hook the air to. And I'm just like, I hope that holds up. Like, did they zip tie it to make sure that, I don't know? Zip ties exist in Star Wars? I don't think they do. I hope not. They say zippers don't, but zippers do. By the way, No, that was the thing. That was the thing. Like there was a time that said that Star Wars, whenever you watch Star Wars, you'll never see a zipper like that, because it, you know, that's not something that they had or whatever. Except for there's one really famous scene with Luke Skywalker where he zips up his suit and then he goes out to the. So like, it's like, okay, well there it is. But then people are up in arms when they show a zipper in episode 3 of Boba Fett, the Book of Boba Fett, and people are like losing their minds over it. And I was like, well,
how did you think those boots got tied or fit on their feet?
Buttons. There were no shoelaces. Only buttons and shoelaces.
Only buttons.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I thought the episode was good. Again, I feel like it kind of brought me back from 3. But it looks like their Boba Fett has recruited Black Chrysanthemum. Chrysanthemum, is that how you say it? Which is the big giant scary looking Wookiee. Like, this guy, I wouldn't want to mess with that thing. But
that actually caught me off guard. I just assumed that they'd be like arch rivals throughout the series.
Well, I you know what? I didn't, because, you know, Boba Fett, when he first went in, he actually said that he's going to rule with respect. So, it's a lot of that. And it's a lot of giving people a second chance. Which is a good message, I feel like. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, he could just turn around and stab him in the back, right? Like, it could happen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's, you know, there, and he was also making, like, deals with some of those, like, street urchins who kind of got screwed over from the Fets.
Yeah.
So, coming in as, like, the daimyo and actually wanting to make change, I like the story because it does put me in the mind of, like, a Yakuza game. Of like somebody trying to like earn more martial dignity with the community and actually build something from it. I know that some people are upset with it, that it's not like, oh, Boba Fett's not a badass anymore. Well, I kind of look at it as a guy who spent probably a good chunk of his life stuck in the stomach of a Sarlacc.
Right.
He wants to get out and probably make amends.
How did he eat?
I just assumed time stopped.
How do you live in the stomach of that Sarlacc? Yeah.
Well, we don't know the digestion system of a Sarlacc. Maybe there was like leftovers. He was like, hey, gotta eat.
Eat like other humans or other. Well, they don't call them humans, right? Like in Star Wars, they don't say humans. Although they did say human in, I believe, the last episode. It was like the first time the word human was uttered in the Star Wars,
right?
Like thing. So,
whoa,
yeah, human.
Human.
Can you imagine those damn humies? All right.
Be careful, Favreau. You're going to piss off the purists.
Yeah, real, oh, my God. You know what? Favreau can do whatever he wants. He's brought us so much good stuff that I give him a pass. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Boba Fett, when I say that he rules out of respect, there is one line in this episode that really kind of rang home with me, and it really showed who he was in one line. In other words, he can't do it alone, and he's that good of a leader to admit that. But the line is, you can only get so far without a tribe. So that means he's putting some good people under his belt, and they're going to rule all together, which is good. I mean, that's what you have to do, because obviously in the past we had, you know, Jabba the Hutt who ruled under fear. So now we have this kind of a different feel to it to see. I mean, they've said in the past that like ruling with respect will never work, but I don't know. We're talking about Boba Fett here. You know, we're not talking about just some rando, you know, so he's a force to be reckoned with, I believe. Yeah. Mike,
as soon as you said rando, I thought the Randalorian.
The return of the Randalorian? The return of the Randalorian. Go ahead, Mike.
I also love that he hasn't been like the end all be all answer to a lot of this, because in most of these confrontations he's pretty much overmatched. I think he's also aware that like a lot of the townsfolk that hasn't really accepted him yet are also eager to flip on them if they can. So as he teamed up with like a lot of the people who are looking for work, and he wants to make them work, he's now allied himself with Finnick. He's allied himself with the Wookiee, and I guess the big bad in this are going to be the Pikes. And also it's like it's making amends for like the Tusken Raiders that he lost
after the
deal.
He believes that he owes them a debt, and he kind of does, but at the same time he really doesn't, because they kind of captured him first, so I feel like they're pretty even. The other things that happened in this episode, we saw the death of said Sarlacc, where they pretty much dropped a bomb or whatever inside the Sarlacc pit and killed it. So okay, then you know there's that, and not much else to say about it. But yeah, and
we settled that grudge,
and then we got to see how Boba Fett got his ship back. So that was a cool kind of inside that we really didn't know. But again, like Mike was saying, it's another flashback, and I at this point I'm still trying to like figure out what's now and what's flashback, and this was one of them that I was like, oh wait, is that? Oh no, no way! He had it in the Mandalorian.
So now I'm confused about where this is supposed to take place with the Mandalorian. Is it like side by side, and they would run into the other one, or is it like a little bit afterwards?
I don't know.
It's really hard to tell.
Last but not least, as far as I want to talk about this episode, did you hear the last little bit of music at the end? Did you happen to catch it? Into the credits.
It might have escaped me.
Well, I'll tell you, and it might actually remind you. We heard the Mandalorian's pan flute theme in there. So, which means that at some point they're going to join forces, I believe. They kind of did, obviously, in the Mandalorian, but I could see this happening.
I'd be kind of down for that. I wonder if people were just expecting that, or if they really wanted that, because they might not feel as to whether or not Boba Fett himself is like holding this.
Mandalorian has jumped the shark. Well, I mean, it's technically not the Mandalorian; it's Book of Boba Fett. So it's two different shows. I think you're still good. I think the Mandalorian is still good. Yeah. I hope.
Mandalorian's good.
We'll see what happens when they bring out season two, and if they could screw that up. So
I just kind of wonder if like with like Book of Boba Fett, was this a story that we really needed? It seems like throwing people fan service because they like Boba Fett.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Because Boba Fett is so like iconic. Like when you say Boba Fett, you just know who he is. He's that Mandalorian in the green suit. He's that, you know, he's never lost a fight. He's like all these different things about him. So I think it's fan service. I agree. I agree with you on that.
I do agree with it is fan service, but people have been saying for years Boba Fett deserved better. because he was supposed to be this badass.
Right.
And then he just gets tagged and he falls into the freaking pit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on.
So at least now he's getting his due, you know?
Correct.
So that's okay. All right. I'll give you that. Okay.
So this is his old man, Logan. So you got to give it to him.
That's really funny. I never even thought about that. That's wait, does that mean he's going to die at the end? Whoa, wait a minute. No, I don't think that's
spoilers, Cedric.
No, they need a season
don't
two.
Tell nobody.
They need a season two. They're not going to do that. So,
oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah, all right. I think that pretty much wraps up the talk of return of the Fandalorian. Which, by the way, that's Boba Fett's blaster. I just want to let you know if you guys didn't know that. Anyway.
Well done.
Just went, you know, you can check my work if you don't believe me. So, all right. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we say goodbye to these fine people? Don't think too hard.
I'm good. What about you guys?
Yeah, I'm good, Mike. You got anything else?
Straight.
All right. Well, before we say goodbye, we got to say goodbye to Cedric. This is your first time jumping on the show and being a little guest host. We really appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
True story, bro. Talk about your podcast, where to hear it, where, what? Where is it at?
True story, bro. We, like I said, we celebrated 5 years.
Nice.
On our podcast journey. Right. It's me and my friends from all the way from middle school to college to just everyday life. And it's been a blast growing, learning, and it's
and you guys, you know, you guys talk about anything. You guys do talk about video games, but everything else too.
Yeah. Everything was on the table. Yeah. Sometimes some politics, very rarely, but video games, movies, TV, anything geek or nerd culture, we're always game for talking about it. And yeah, it's great. You can catch us on YouTube for the video show. You can catch us where all podcasts are streamed. iTunes, Google Podcasts, all that stuff. And check us out on Official True Story Bro on Twitch and Official True Story Bro on IG.
Okay.
You can find us.
Right on, man. Well, Sir Wednesday, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, especially on short notice, because I just asked you earlier today. So
it's all good.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. So, all right. Well,
can I give one more shout out?
Of course.
Shout out to my boy.
I'm just kidding.
Shout out to my boy Smog Shaman. We do every Sunday or every other Sunday, we do a series called Side Scroll Sundays,
okay,
where we play different side scroll beat 'em ups. Apologize for my voice.
No, you're fine.
I think today we played Mother Russia Bleeds, which is a side scroll beat 'em up. It's very good. But yeah, hit us up on his channel, which is Smog Shaman on Twitch. And
cool.
Help him out. Say hi. I'll be there.
Right on. Well, cool.
Nice.
We'll definitely check that out. I want to check that out. I'm into that for sure. I'm sure Mike is too, because, you know, when it comes to retro games, that's your guy right there.
You can never go wrong with a good side-scrolling brawler.
You cannot.
That's true. So as far as we go, you guys can all check out all of our stuff on our website, gamefixshow.com. The top right-hand corner, you could see all of our social medias. Click, like, subscribe. We really do appreciate all of those. Thank you. And right under that, you could see the moving GIF that says Patreon. You can become a Patreon. You can actually challenge us like Bo Cephas did during this show. And Mike, you're going to do that, right? You got to find the game that Cedric said that you hit the ref, 20, 25 times, and it resets the game. You have to record it, though.
Oh, yeah.
You got to figure this out. All right, cool. And Bocephus, thank you. Head sex. Thank you. I'll give you. That's what he, yeah, you got it. All right. Enough of that. So, like I say on every episode, it's your world. Pay attention.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
See ya.
Adios, turd nuggets.
That's a great movie.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Califato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world. all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.